Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, you're going to have to speak up. I can't hardly hear you.
Let me see if I can work this. Hold on a second. Let me see here. Is this better?
Yeah, it's better. I'm on a bus, so it's also a little hard to hear.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just yell into the mic.
There you go.
So hopefully I won't sound too aggressive.
I won't take it that way.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, man. It's an honor and a pleasure. It's been I've been a fan since first hearing telling them a long, long time ago.
Yes, way back.
Yeah. I mean, we're going on what? It's almost 40 years for Social D at this point, right?
Man, we weren't supposed to live this long.
I was...
I did, though.
Yeah, I'm glad... I'm glad you did too, man. I still love going to see you, and you're going to be at the Palladium in Worcester on August 11th. And I was rewatched another state, the documentary, Another State of Mind, the other night. And yeah,
tragic comedy.
I wanted to ask you now, as opposed to then, do you think it's easier for bands to get out on the road to get their music heard now, as opposed back then? And does it take away from the music at all?
You know, it's definitely harder than it was 20 years ago, but it's probably equally as hard as it was back then. I mean, you know, we had to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, there was no major labels knocking at Social Distortion's door back in 1982. So, or any label for that matter. So we had to create our own and do it ourselves. You know, I think that's going to be the case for a lot of new artists now, you know.
Do you think it's even though the media is different, we have social media now, and it's easier to record?
Well,
I think
that can definitely work to your advantage, for sure. Yes, in answer to your question, I think it might be easier, because rather than underground fanzines and flyers and word of mouth, that's all, you know, all we had to try and promote ourselves or promote a show. So now, yeah, you got a couple hundred friends on your Facebook. You can, that's a start at least. And then they do it and they do it and they do it. Then it's like you got 1,000 people by noon if you do it right, you know?
Now, I was reading, or last I read, you had, correct me if I'm wrong here, you had a couple dozen songs for a new album. When do you expect to hit the studio for those?
Well, this is the final tour of the year, or kind of just, for me to get into full writing mode, I have to shut down the touring machine, you know, and because I don't really write well on the road. I basically spend the whole day getting prepared for the show, you know, whether it's, you know, what I'm eating and how much rest I've got and the exercise and, you know, if I can fit in meditation, that's always good. And I go fuck around for a while too, and, you know.
Yeah.
That helps me get my mind right too.
Yeah.
You know, kind of escape for a while. And, you know, we hope to be, we will be in the studio next year. I just don't know whether it's going to be spring or summer.
You mentioned meditation, and I know you also practice yoga, but you also box. Do you still box?
I'm trying to get back to yoga. I've been absent for 10 years, but I went back a couple times the beginning of summer, and I plan on definitely getting back when I might try it on the road, but for sure I've got to incorporate it back. And then, yeah, my boxing regime is pretty much my main source of exercise right now.
What attracted you to boxing? Because I know you're really into it. What was it that made you want to put the...
Always, you know, I mean, when I I was a kid, Bruce, you know, I mean, I had posters of Bruce Lee in my room, and, you know, I took Kung Fu for a couple of years, but, you know, but never really, like, learned to use it in a real situation. I was good at, you know, we would do demonstrations in front of large groups of people, but, you know, I always kind of wanted to box, but never committed to it. I tried it in the 90s and just didn't commit to it, and, you know, fully, and been, you know, over 10 years now where I just, you know, immersed in it and, you know, love watching it, love, I spar with the 35-year-olds and do pretty good. So it's just a perfect way for me to get a full body workout, to always be learning, keep my, you know, sharpen the mind and to get your body to do things that they've either never done before or haven't done in a long time.
Is there any part of your boxing that is connected to your music in any way? An attitude?
Well,
or...
absolutely. I mean, I work out before the show. That gets, you know, it gets a rhythm going. It gets the lungs opened up. It gets a sweat. And, you know, I'm just pretty much like, okay, well, I did the hard part of the day now. Now the show will be easy.
It seems like it's a natural thing for you because you've kind of done your things your own way. Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, and it's creative, you know, it's really creative, and it's, you know, it's a chess game, and you have to try and outsmart your opponent. It's not just brute slugging, you know, it's a chess game, and you have to trick them and make them think you're going to do something, and then you do something else, and you bait them in, and so it's really a mental thing as well.
You've taken Jay Jackson out on the road with you, and I think this is a great story. Well, first of all, I've only listened to a few songs. I love her voice, and
it's incredible, yeah.
And I love the music, and I think it's a great story. I saw that her first concert was a Social Distortion concert. Is that right?
Yes. It's crazy.
And then through, was it family, friends, you were able to get exposed to her playing music and writing music, and now...
Well, it was my wife urging me to listen to her demos because my wife is good friends with her, grew up with her mom. And I'd seen her perform in, like, you know, coffee houses and stuff like that, but it was, you know, I couldn't get the feel until I heard her demos, and then I really heard the songwriting. And so, yeah, I decided to, you know, make some demos and shop them around, and we got her signed to Anti, and then we went in and made the record. And I really do love being in the studio just as much as I love being on a stage, and, you know, it's equally as fulfilling, whether it's working with our band or someone else.
You know, your love of, you know, country blues and Depression era music and music from the 50s, you know, it's been obvious in yeah. Social Distortion's music yeah. for a while. So as far as producing goes, I want to ask you, if you had a chance to make a record with, say, one of your heroes or one of your big influences who's yeah. no longer around, who would that be?
Yeah. Oh, man, there's a lot.
I bet.
There's a lot of artists that I feel, you know, man, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but I hadn't made a good record in 20 years. You know, for some reason, they were geniuses and made amazing records. But, you know, I was trying to get the New York Dolls record for that last one they put out.
Yeah.
I wanted to produce it, you know. I just feel that I know some of these artists more than they know themselves at this point. And I could draw out of them, not trying to recreate what they did. Their signature stuff I would try and keep intact, just like I do with Social Distortion, but I would have loved to, you know, produce David Bowie, the New York Dolls. There's a handful. I mean, you know, even some of these old country greats, you know. I know Jack White did Loretta Lynn, but...
Like, if you had a... would you jump... Like, say you were around when Hank Williams Sr. was around... I mean, or something like that, or
oh,
maybe even
yeah.
like Lead Belly or someone like that.
I mean, George Jones, yeah. I mean, It would be a dream come true to be working with someone like that.
I want to preface this question, and I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but as I mentioned before, we're going on 40 years, and in no way do I mean this, but is there a stopping point? Like, when do you hang your hat? When do you say, okay, I've seen the highest of highs and lowest of lows?
I can tell you, last night I had to train before the show in the back of the truck. It was probably 85 degrees with 83% humidity. And then I went and did the show, which was about the same as the workout. It was physically challenging. I mean, it was like doing a triathlon, you know? And after the show, me and Johnny are just fucking limping around, fucking sore, like, oh, fuck. But, you know, I feel great this morning. So, you know, I don't know, dude. I'm going to live to be 100, so I don't really want to stop. I love it.
Yeah.
But at times it does get physically, you know, challenged, usually when it's just extreme conditions like that. I mean, it was, the crowd wasn't even moving. Like, it was a wax museum because they were just miserable.
So when you hear, I don't know if you heard, but, you know, when you hear something like Justin Bieber canceling his last 19 dates because he says he's tired, I mean, do you have any words to that?
Suck it up.
Yes.
Yeah. There's days I want to crawl underneath a rock, you know, because I'm so tired, and it happens to just be this town's Friday night. I don't have that choice, you know. I've had to cancel shows in the past because I was sick, and I the guilt is just like fucking overwhelming.
Yeah,
you know. So you know, I can't relate.
Well, Mike, it's been a real pleasure talking.
Never have even had to dig a hole before in the dirt.
Yeah, exactly.
So he doesn't understand what work is, I'm sure.
And, all right, well, Mike, it's been a pleasure and an honor talking to you, man. Big fan, and we're looking forward to seeing you at the Palladium here in Worcester, Massachusetts on August 11th.
Yeah, we're excited too, man. It's slowly working our way up there.
All right. Well, hopefully it won't be too hot, and we won't be a wax museum. I guarantee it.
All right. Good to hear.
All right, Mike. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good talking with you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.